Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We are currently answering questions from our listeners in our annual question and answer series. Follow along today as we take up from where we left off.
Plants my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
This listener writes, Dear Dr. Bloom, I believe the fact that we are not to worship idols. That is very clear in the Ten Commandments and other scriptures. But as I study the tabernacle, why are there angels placed in it over the mercy seat, i.e., Exodus chapter 25, verses 17 through 20? Are they not thereby objects of worship? Now, folks, I think that this is interesting that a question like this is asked. It shows that people are meditating in the Word. And there are so many things that go on out there that a question as this can bring doubt to someone's mind or be used of the devil to hint at a contradiction. So I say, let us consider the passage. Exodus 25, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end, and an other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubim on the 2 ends there. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall all the faces of the cherubims be. Now, a key word in this passage is the word covering. The mercy seat is the place where God will meet the high priest who is going to God for the people and waiting for God to accept the sacrifice for the people. Now, of course, it's first for himself and then it's for the people. Inside the mercy seat, one finds there in that ark the Ten Commandments. Originally, the manna and Aaron's rod that budded were in with the tables of stone. But when we get to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9, at the completion of the temple, we find the ark has in it only the tables of stone graven by the finger of God. Now, there was nothing in the ark save those 2 tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, the law is what condemned us. The sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat was symbolic of the blood that it would take to be accepted as payment for what the law demanded. You see, the wages, what we've earned, what we have coming to us, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. We also read in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. That is, there's no forgiveness. Now that brings the question of, why are there 2 angels over the mercy seat? For this we go to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 15. There we read this, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. This passage is speaking of Satan. Verse 13 speaks of him before his fall. All the jewelry shows that he had authority over it in heaven that was given to him by God. You might say God put him in charge of that when you see all the gold and the precious jewels that we just read there. But we also read of the tabrets and pipes, which speak of music. In heaven, Satan was in charge of both the music and jewelry. Now, isn't it interesting that in the Bible, we never see that angels sing after the fall of Satan? Neither do we see them wearing jewelry. Now, don't write me and say, well, why do we sing at Christmas time, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we talk about the angels gathered there in the sky over the shepherds and hearing them sing, Glory to God in the highest. Well, if you read the passage, you'll see it says, saying, even in heaven, they joined the singing saints by saying. We don't see them singing, and we don't see them wearing jewelry. Now, those things aren't evil. Jesus will have a crown of gold, and in heaven, we will sing praises to our God. But you see, Satan can corrupt both music and jewelry. Jewelry has been used for both false worship and debauchery, as we think of places called Tinsel Town. But I believe verse 14 is key here. Again, it says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Satan was anointed to cover the mercy seat of heaven, the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, it must be kept in mind that in heaven, we see that God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24 and Hebrews 12:29. Now notice that Satan alone was he who covered. This was the highest position for an angelic being or cherubic being. It was the highest. And it is why when Michael the archangel was contending with Satan, he said in Jude, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Now think about that. He didn't say it. He said, the Lord rebuke thee in Jude 9. See, when Satan fell, he lost it all. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15 speaks of his great fall. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Lucifer, of course, was Satan. So he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Well, needless to say, great was the fall of Satan. Now back in Exodus chapter 25, verse 20, we read, And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. See, Satan is replaced with two cherubims. Their wings cover, but their faces look to one another. Now, although God could keep them from not failing in their work, as Satan did, they are there to face one another. Boy, we think of edification and the need of believers to be laborers together with God. Now, although these angels are sinless, they're not God. So, unlike God, they are capable of failure. They are facing one another also because no man can see God and live. Their covering also protects man. It protects the angels in the sense they are looking at one another and not desiring to replace God. And so we see the symbolism is what is important in the angel's appearance at the mercy seat in the most holy place of the tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle and later the temple are only a pattern. Now think of a pattern as a type or a shadow. And notice in the same chapter of Exodus chapter 25, verse 9 and verse 40. Verse 9, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even shall you make it. Verse 40, and look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. These are patterns of the heavenly. The blood of bulls and goats could not save us on this earthly mercy seat. So we need to understand what a type is. Type is a shadow, not the substance. Noah and Lot are types in prophecy. They are not the prophecy, they're history. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph is the type. Christ is the antitype. The antitype is the substance. The type is the shadow. For example, Jesus is not a type, Joseph is. The similarity between type and antitype can never be perfect, like a light casting your shadow against a building. It can make your shadow look like you're 20 feet tall if it's placed just rightly. And yet, that's not you. The type is a shadow of that which is to come, but not the perfect substance. Jesus is not a type of God. He is God. Now, the old tabernacle is only a type. Therefore, in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Now we see the work of Christ in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. The blood was placed on the mercy seat of heaven for us when Jesus ascended into heaven. His sinless blood was the only blood that could pay for our sin. Mary Magdalene started to touch Jesus after the resurrection. He told her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." But after he did ascend, we read in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, finally, let me say this. I like your question, because it demonstrates how Satan will try to twist the scriptures for the people of God. That's why it is important that we stay in the Word and go to a church that preaches the Word, that gives us more than just milk, as Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 14 speaks. So I really thank you for this letter that you've sent, because those angels were there to show us a covering and to show us the holiness, the absolute holiness of God. And I hope, my friend, my dear listener friend, that that is a good help to you. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.